Good morning. Good to see you guys. Wow, what a morning. Woo! Yikes. I'm Don. I'm now your holiday pastor again. So it is Memorial Day. You can't have a holiday without me. I'll show up whether you like me or not, want me or not. So I'm there. The only problem is DeAndre was like set loose here. He was on fire. I mean, I listened to that. He should just give the message. He already gave the message. After all that, I look at him and I look at myself. I go, man, I'm dull. You know, but it's good to be here. Memorial Day weekend is a very special weekend, not only because it's time to celebrate that summer's here and have hot dogs and watch baseball and go camping or whatever, but it's recognizing the nation that we live in would not be what it is, free and an opportunity to worship like this today and to have affluence and peace and all that without some great sacrifice of men and women that have gone before us. And I think it'd be great just to open with a word of prayer and just be grateful to God for this weekend of our nation, and pray and lift our nation up as we go into the future. So would you pray with me on this? Lord, it brings a tear to my eye to recognize the joy that comes in worship and to be able to just freely give our hearts to you and to watch people give their lives in celebration of baptism. And I don't take for granted the freedom that we have. I don't think any of us do. We forget sometimes, but we don't take it for granted. Thank you for the men and women that have sacrificed their life that we might enjoy what we enjoy today. No greater love hath anyone than to lay down their life for their brother. And we've had thousands of people that have done just that. And it can't help but turn our focus to you who taught that truth and who lived that truth. Jesus Christ, you laid your life down for us that we might have life, freedom, peace, joy. And so we thank you. Bless our nation. Help us during the challenges that are ahead, and may we be willing to always recognize that you are the king and the sovereign of this land as well as this world. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, there's something really, 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 really powerful about remembering elicits emotions in us and strength in us. It brings within freshness something that was so alive in the past to the present again. There's something about remembering. Thus, Memorial Day is a time to remember. I don't know exactly when Memorial Day started. They say after the Civil War, there's a couple different places it popped up. It was a recognition of the soldiers that gave their life, and it began as calling it Decoration Day because people would go to the graveyards and decorate their graves and recognizing the great price. It turned into Memorial Day. It used to be May 30th, and of course, as we've had wars, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, it was finally given as a holiday the last Monday of the month of May. To remember, because there's something about remembering that is powerful. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and look at all the monuments and the memories that are there from presidents that have gone before us, from just outstanding citizens that have contributed to our country and our society, our culture. But there's really something that moves me about the war memorials. Even though I've never served, but there's something that just moves my heart as I recognize those. And for me and my generation, it's the Vietnam War Memorial that seems so so simple compared to the other memorials. It was controversial when it first came out because of its simplicity. It's a long black granite wall with over 58,000 names of those who've given their life in that war. I tell you what moved me when I saw this. I mean, it's two walls, both of them almost the length of a football field, with countless names. That was a little bit inspiring to me. But what was really inspiring was to watch people come, some with family members or friends' names up on that wall, and to search for it, and to trace it, and to find the name, and to watch the emotion as they remembered maybe a child, a son, a husband, family member, a friend. To watch a Vietnam vet stand there with almost a blank look in his eyes as he certainly had triggered all kinds of memories. Perhaps one of the biggest ones being, I'm feeling guilty for not being on that wall while my friends are. It moves me to be a part of such a thing. There's power in remembering. That's why some of you will visit the grave of a loved one this weekend just to remember them. It's why parents take a lot of photos of their children and do scrapbooking. They still do scrapbooking? Scrapbooking, so they can remember. It's why high school students exchange signatures on a yearbook. Remember. Remember. In Christianity, there are two big memorials that help us remember, that take us back to the freshness of the reality of God working. Two major ones. Bigger but smaller, more meaningful but even more significant than some of the biggest memorials you could possibly think of. I mean, you could go look at cathedrals and huge churches and all the icons and symbols and all the various things that we try to do to remember Christ and remember Christianity, but he's basically set up two for us as a church. Sometimes they're called sacraments, sometimes they're called ordinances. I want to deal with them a little bit today because I'm going to deal with the first one and wait for another holiday to deal with the second one. The first one is baptism, the second one is communion. And they're alive and they're real and they're happening because for 2,000 years, this has been the symbol to help us remember. So baptism is this initiation that you just saw. And everybody that went through there, I imagine, went through a baptism class and the significance, but you may be here today and you're going like, this is exciting, but what does it really mean? It means they're standing up. It's an initiation. It's an identification that says, I'm standing for Jesus. It's so easy to be kind of silent in our faith, to be, I'm quietly committed to God. But it's a whole nother thing to stand up and say, I am announcing that I am all in, both feet. I will follow Jesus. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one. In fact, Jesus himself said, if you acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge you before my Father. And this is an opportunity for people to say, I'm acknowledging. Hopefully, that some of you are friends and family that were invited to watch these folks, to listen to them. But as a church, that we go together and we just say, welcome. And hopefully when that happens, there starts to become a memory in your life when perhaps you were baptized. So that's more than just celebrating with them, but it's you remembering what that was like when you stepped into the water and when a difference was made in your life. A lot of questions come up with baptism that I've dealt with as a pastor that I'll throw out to you that maybe some of you are kind of dealing with in your head a little bit. But one of them is, what's the difference between baptism for adults and baptism for children, for babies? And well-meaning smart people, deeply committed to Christ, have kind of debated that over the years, but where we kind of line out as a church is baptism is for when you come to the point in your life where you're old enough, mature enough to make a decision to trust and follow Christ and to say, I'm in. I'm in. And I deal with a lot of people that say, well, you know, I was baptized as a baby. I don't remember it. Is that good enough? And I say, well, do you think it's good enough? I'm not going to tell you what to do, but here's what we think is it's a way of saying, I understand what I'm doing and I'm stepping into that whole thing because it's so important to me to let people know of the change in my life. And so I usually leave it up to the person, but if you really want to know what I think, I won't tell you in public, but I'll tell you here. I think you should, as an adult, to show your faith. Another question that comes up is, how much water does it take to baptize somebody? And again, this has been debated by very committed, loving people for years. Some people, it's a drip, or it's a pouring of water. For some, it's complete immersion, which you experienced here today. I think different denominations lean on different things that way. I've done just about everything. I think some of the most memorable baptisms have been what I don't normally do, which is not submerged, but I'll tell you one of them. We were in a hospital with a guy that was going to die, and he wanted to be baptized. And we led him to the Lord in the hospital. He wanted to be baptized before he died. And they made this kind of canvas pool for him, laid him in there and just a little bit of water, and all the pastoral staff came around and we baptized him and splashed him. About five of us just splashing him, and watch his smile. I poured water over the head, baptizing a woman who had been a Christian for years, but she was now on hospice and was unable to be baptized any other way. My favorite way of baptizing somebody was at Rocky Point when somebody said, hey, I want to be baptized in the ocean. I've seen people be baptized in the ocean. Rocky Point, we went there on a Saturday. I think it was actually a Memorial Day weekend. It was on a Sunday. It was just, you know how peaceful it can be? The sun's out. It's just perfect. The water's warm. There's a little bit of a breeze. A bunch of people, and we were going to spend the night. I said, I can't baptize you. It's just too peaceful. Let's just enjoy the day. We'll get you baptized in the morning. The whole family and friends. In the middle of the night, a storm came up. This is back in the day before all those high-rises, and we lived in a tent for the night, and it was blowing like crazy. We got up for breakfast, and my kids were young at that time. One of my sons comes up to me and goes, Dad, there's waves. There's waves out there. I'm going, wave? Well, I'm thinking like these little, you know, like lake waves. He goes, no, it's real waves. They're ocean waves. I'm like, yeah, right. No, we get down there. There's real waves. And one lady that wanted to be baptized didn't know how to swim. And so I said, hey, we can just go back to the church. No, I'm down here. I'm going to do it. Let me go first so I don't chicken out. So I take her out, and the waves are coming, and we get out there in the middle of the waves. And I said, all right, I'm going to pray. And as soon as the wave comes over us, pray, and then I'm going to let you down and pop you back up before the next wave comes. So pray, baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it goes lower and lower, and the water just keeps going lower and lower and lower. And pretty soon, I'm like 3 inches off the ground. There's no water. And all of a sudden, here comes a wave. Boom! And we just tumble all the way to the shore laughing. I'm trying to hold her head up so she doesn't die right there. It's like, are you ready to see Jesus now? Because you're getting, you know, we roll all the way over in there. And then we bring the rest of them out. And so I said, this is kind of crazy. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then we're just going to duck down on our haunches and just let it take us in. So her husband comes out, and that's what we do, and it's body surf on him. And then finally I'm saying, why am I getting down like this? And so I just said, you're going to bend down when the thing comes, and we'll pray. And so they would come, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bend down, wave, whoosh, take them to shore. Next, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whoosh, take them to shore. I call it power washing. It was the very best. It was the very best. Immersion, though, is something I think that biblically I can line up with, because as DeAndre mentioned, it shows what the death and burial of Jesus and the resurrection to new life is all about. And it's us saying, I believe that. And more than that, I identify that I'm dying to my old self. I'm connecting with the crucifixion of Jesus, and I'm dying to my old self, and I'm raising up again. I'm burying all my sins in the ground, and I'm raising up again to new life. It's a pantomime. It's a drama of the gospel, like we just talked about. It's huge in our development of who we are. I don't have it on the screen, but I want to hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 6 when he says this: "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus..." We're getting ready for a power wash here, I think. You want to be baptized tonight? Today? Get a hold. "Don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life." We identify with him. We die so that we can be raised up new. And there's times in our life when you who have been baptized, when you need to remember these things, you need to remember, I died to that old sinful nature. There's stuff that starts to jump out at me, and I say, no more, you're dead. I don't listen to that voice anymore. I don't go with that route anymore. I buried that long ago. And the new person I am is different. "We know that the old self," he says, "was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Anyone who has died with Christ, no longer slaves. What used to enslave you, you've been freed from. In the same way, Paul says, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, but offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from the death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." That's baptism. I think it doesn't matter so much how much water, it matters what happens in you. In fact, what we say is, baptism is not a golden ticket to heaven. It's an outward expression of an inward experience. You can go down, you can be a dry sinner and go down and come up and be a wet sinner. But what it is saying, this is what's happened to me, and this outward expression of it. Some people say, well, is it just a symbol? Do I even need to be baptized then? And I want to just tell you today, I think it's more than a symbol. It's much more than a symbol. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, and you're going to get baptized the next time, you're getting all, and you die, I don't think Jesus is going to go, well, sorry, you're not getting in because you haven't baptized. It's not a golden ticket. He's going to look for the experience of Jesus in your life. But sometimes we just like push it off to the side. We're casual with it. We don't think it's that big of a deal. And it is a big deal. It's more than a symbol. It is a symbol, but it's more than a symbol. It's a step of obedience. I surrender to you, Jesus. I'm giving you my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to live with you for eternity. I want to know your will. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, which is a big, long life of faith. And here's what he says. Okay, I'll tell you the first thing you need to do. Get baptized. Well, is there something else? Because I don't want to mess my hair up. You know, it's not convenient to me. No, it's a step of obedience. He died on the cross for us. We can step out of the convenience to follow him, which for 2,000 years has been a monument to him, that every time someone does what they just did, reminds you of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and that these folks have made that same decision that many of you have made, to die, to identify with Christ, die to the old nature, and to raise up with his spirit. Not only is it obedience, but Jesus thought it was so important that he modeled it. He himself was baptized. Not only because he wanted to give it a good example, but because of the dynamics that happened. First time, the only time I think where the Trinity is manifested all together in the Bible. Jesus is in the water to be baptized. He goes under, comes up. The Holy Spirit, it says, descends like a dove and lights upon him. And a voice from heaven, the Father himself, says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus comes up out of that water and begins his earthly ministry in a dynamic that he'd never had at any moment before that. I think what these people have heard, maybe not an audible voice, but I hope in their hearts, as you watch their eyes and their face and their smiles, is to hear the Father say, you're my child. You're my beloved child. I am so pleased with you. So pleased. And that it begins to usher them into a time of ministry in their life, like perhaps they've never experienced before. What you say around this place all the time is make a memory. Those are memories. So that you might realize your place in God's story. And Jesus made a memory to realize his place, to identify and to step into the place of God's story of redemption for us. There's something more than symbol. It's an experience. It's an experience. And God does in us, through our obedience, something that maybe he never does at any other time. I want to ask you a question. As we remember baptism, first question is this. If you've already been baptized, especially, if you're a believer, is there anything in your life this morning that's alive but should be put to death? That you, when you went under, you took on the crucifixion of Jesus, you put your sin under, but man, it just keeps cropping up. It hounds you. It might be, you know, I chase after money all the time. Money's my God, not Jesus. It might be I wrestle with lustful thoughts and lustful actions, or envy and jealousy, or maybe just a bad attitude, and it just keeps cropping up. I want to remind you that you've put that to death. Don't let that come back up. Don't let sin reign in your mortal life, he says. That means you've put it to death. Don't let it come back up. Don't let it reign there. You stop. I don't listen to you anymore. That nature is gone, dead. Is there anything like that? Is there anything in your life that's dead and needs to be brought back up again to life, raised to new life? You were once on fire. You were once in that pool. You were sold out to Jesus, but life has just knocked you down. And you've lost the joy. You've lost the passion. You've lost the energy. You've lost your faith. You've lost your hope. Maybe your marriage is just beat up and you need God to raise it up again. The same spirit that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, he gives to you. Remember that. Greater power that is in you than the power that's in the world. Satan loves to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you life. Today, I want to lead you in a word of prayer. And I invite you just to close your eyes with me for a moment. And what I love to do, again, I just take my hands and stick them out in front of me. And today, I'd like you just to make fists with your hands if you feel comfortable with this. And if there's something that you need to let go of, something that's dead, and you just need to give it over to God and let him take it to the cross and nail it on the cross, just like those folks did with their sin, just to be reminded of this time that you've done that, I'm going to ask you just to open up your palms and let go of it and give it to Jesus. Give it to his grace. He forgives us over and over and over again. He wants to do that tonight, today. Just let him have it. And then take your palms and raise them up again, and maybe there's something that you want to have come back alive again in your life. Just receive his spirit that breathes life. Breathe it back in your soul. Breathe it back in your marriage. Breathe it back in your family. Breathe it back into the very essence of who you are. Lord Jesus, I receive what you have for me in your spirit. Raise the dead to life in my heart again. Help me breathe the breath of God. Lord, as we offer these prayers to you, thank you for the memories that we can come back and that you can enliven and refresh us, even though it's been years, perhaps, since we've gone under those waters. You're here today, and what you're doing and what you're doing right this moment is nothing short of miraculous. We receive the gift that you give us in the name of Jesus. Amen.